right. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asking him a question, testing him, saying, "Lord, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it." And this is where we're going to jump off next week. We're going to talk about the second. "And the second is like it. You shall love the Lord your love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Let's pray. Lord, I just ask you to bind every religious spirit. I ask you to let us speak. I ask you to speak to us. And God, help us, Lord. And God, I pray you'll just make things clear to us. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, what I want to talk to you about today, I want to pick up on what I talked about last week. And if you weren't here last week, I went off. I just exploded, went off, and I'm going to try not to go off today. But one of the things that, see, we like to add stuff to it, okay? See, we're like the Pharisees. We all got our little bitty things that we think is godly. We all got our little bitty, you know, I mean, you got one denomination, don't cut your hair, you're godly. Or you wear certain things, you're godly. Or you don't wear certain things, you're ungodly. Or this, or that. You know, that you got to do it this way. You got to baptize in this name. You got to don't baptize in that name. Baptize in these three names. All these other things. Well, how many beers can I have, Brother Allen? Before it's sin. Well, you know, or the teenager, I used to love it. Well, look, Brother Allen, you know, Bill Clinton made this famous. You know, we didn't actually have sex, so it's okay, right? How far can we go before it's sin? See, we want, and so when you talk to different people, you got this vast array of commands that different people throw out. When Jesus Christ, he just, see, we like that because we like wiggle room. Don't nobody shout me down now. We like wiggle room because we want a whole bunch because, well, I agree with that one, I disagree with that one. And so we give ourselves a little freedom. Well, you know, that ain't that bad. I mean, I've been to pastors' conferences where, you know, in California, where they broke, after the lesson, they broke out the cognac. And that was a little different for me. I went. And, I mean, you go to Russia on a mission trip, and the most godly person you know will serve you a shot of vodka at the end of the meal. Dan, stop that, Dan. We don't live in Russia. So don't try it, Dan. All right, so we got all these kind of different rules, and people like to put all different kinds. You got to read the same Bible. You got to read the right Bible, 1611, King James. And most of the time, the people are uneducated to throw those things out because King James wanted a divorce. That's why we've got the King James 1611, because he wanted to sleep around and the Catholic priest wouldn't give him a divorce. So he started his own. We're going to have our own. Don't nobody shout me down now. I mean, that might be a little too much history for you. What I'm saying is, here's the whole point. There's a whole lot of wiggle room, and who you hang out with has got different opinions and all that stuff. When it came down to Jesus Christ, he simplified it down to two. Now, we don't like it because there ain't no wiggle room there. You know, it's just, okay, this is it? Yeah. And part of the reason that we have such, and I want you to hear this, we have such anxiety, worry, fear, depression inside the church. Now, I'm talking to Christians today. Is because we're not in agreement with ourselves. And what I mean by that is, I taught last week about the most important word in this command is what? It says, love the Lord your God with all. That's the big word there. All your heart. And see, we're trying to love God here at church and then act somewhere different at work and love God here and on vacation. Oh, I can really act different there. And then, you know, we do it. And so we're a house divided against itself cannot stand, is what the Bible says. Your own personal house, you inside of you ain't in agreement. And no wonder you got all this stuff going on. And then the Lord starts showing me the reason it all starts with your heart. And boy, I'm going to teach you a life lesson today. And man, I hope you take notes. I hope you write it down. I hope it gets ingrained in your brain. I want you to hear me now. I cannot love God with all my heart when my heart is wounded and broken. You can't love somebody else. You know, that's why divorced people, the next marriage usually gets, you know, 80% divorce rate. You know why? Because you go into the second one without letting your heart heal. And so there's no way I can love you without a whole heart. If my heart is not whole, I can't love you with a whole heart. Does that make sense? We can't love God without a whole heart. And we sing songs about it. We got phrases. We understand it, what we're saying. But what I'm telling you is, if you don't learn to guard your heart, you're not going to be able to fulfill the first command, much less the second command. You know, we throw phrases out like, what's our phrases? You broke my heart. Loose-hearted, half-hearted, bless your heart, cold-hearted, tender-hearted, you ain't got no heart. How about this one? Your cheating heart. I mean, we all know when you hear these things, we all know what we're talking about, don't we? And so the Bible has something to say to you this morning. Because you can't do the first one without a whole heart. If my heart is not whole, how can I love God with all of it? Does that make sense? So I want to learn how to do that. All right, first thing we need to understand. First of all, Proverbs 4:23. This is a verse I want you to remember. I want you to get it. This is a powerful verse. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. You know, I can tell what's going on in your heart. It's going to spring out of your mouth. The word keep, I want to break this down so that you understand exactly what we're saying. The word keep is to guard, to protect, to maintain, to besiege. Do you understand what a besiege means? When you see it in the Bible, it says, and Syria besieged Jerusalem. What they mean there is they completely surrounded it and nothing got in or out without their approval. That's a big word. You besiege your heart and you don't let nothing in or out without you saying okay. Keep your heart with all diligence. A guard, a watch, a position. It's an office. He's talking about, you know, almost like you pay somebody to keep watch over this. Don't let it go. Don't not watch it. Don't pay attention. Excuse me. Don't not pay attention. Keep an eye on your heart. Constantly watch your heart. That's diligence. And issues. Man, this blows my mind. You'll see this is a problem in America. We got brokenhearted people and they can't get healed. Because Jesus is the only one that can heal a broken heart. Look what the word issues means. This flew off the page. It means boundaries, borders, source, outings, outgoings. We have no boundaries. Let me show you this. I mean, this is it's just amazing. I'm just trying to build a case, and we're going to get to the good part. But do you understand? There's no boundaries. When you have a broken heart, you have no boundaries. You have, everything, you see this all over our society. You say whatever comes to your heart. You say whatever the thing comes. I can say whatever. You see it over all over. I mean, it used to be that you had a little respect for an office or something, and you didn't tear it down in public because there was some respect. Now people just say whatever is vile. There's no boundaries anymore. I mean, some of you, I've heard you say stuff like, "Well, you know, brother, I'm keeping it real. Just saying whatever's on your mind." That's one of the problems with Facebook. Can I tell you this? Can I help you? I know I'm a dinosaur. But I'm telling you, I don't want people making comments about my life and my stuff that have no vested interest in me. When you put your life out there and all your pictures and all your stuff, and somebody that ain't your friend, ain't your family, makes a comment, and then all of a sudden you get wounded. Oh, they hurt me. Look what they say. People, well, you invited it. I don't want them making comments about me. Let me tell you something. I'm going to help your marriage right now. You're going to walk out of there and say, "My God, that preacher helped me today." There are times comments come to my mind about Amy and to Amy. But let me tell you something. I live with her, and so I know that I should have boundaries, because if I want to live and do well, just because that comes to my mind don't mean I need to say it. Can I get a witness? Some of you think just because it comes to your mind, you ain't got no boundaries. And when your heart's wounded because words hurt you, people have said things, maybe your dad, your mom, or whatever, said things to break your heart, you think you can just say that's just the way it is. Look at the scripture. Whoo! How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I can listen to a person talk for a little while, and I'll tell you what's in their heart. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. When your heart is broken, you have no boundaries. You'll hurt people with your words. You have no borders. Out of it flows the issues of life. You have no borders. Look at the next one. You'll do whatever it is just because they hurt you. You've been hurt. And so, do you understand? Hurt people hurt people. You understand that? That when your heart is wounded, there's no borders. Look at this scripture. Matthew 15:18-20 says, "Both these things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart." There it is again. You'll see a recurring theme. And they defile a man. Like some of you constantly are tearing yourself down and demeaning yourself. That tells me what's in your heart. Your heart's broken because you feel like you've been devalued. And so that's all you can say out of your mouth. Or somebody else. Look what it says. They defile a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murderers, adultery, fornication, false witness. These are the things which defile a man. Look at me. I'm not harping on religion today. Just a little bit. I'm going to take a shot and I'm going to move on because I can't get tired of it. They're having the same debate as people say, oh, they're talking about washing their hands before they eat. They're having the same, oh, you don't cut your hair. If you cut your hair, you're going to hell. If you do this, you're going to hell. If you don't do that, if you don't wear nice clothes, if you wear bad clothes, if you don't read the right Bible, all these different garbage. You're not baptized by one name. You're baptized by three names. Blah, 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 blah. They were having this argument, and all the time, the Lord's saying, look, none of that matters. It's what's in your heart that matters. That's what defiles you or doesn't defile you. There's no borders. Listen. I wept the other day. Read the story. Amy, I don't know if you read the story. I talked to you about it. What's happening in the former Soviet Union and some of the Eastern Bloc, some of the smaller nations, they're having a crisis, and here's what's happening. And they had the picture of this one lady, elderly lady, looks like she was about, 75, 80, whatever. Her son had come to pick her up. And he took her for a ride and stopped, walked around, grabbed her, threw her out on the side of the road, and she's never seen him again. And it's happening all over that area. People are just kicking their family members out. See, when your heart's broken, there are no borders. You can do whatever you think is best for you. You become self-focused. How do women walk off and do something so unnatural as leave their children? How do men just go out to the store and never come back? Because there are no borders. There's no boundaries that hold us. When your heart is broken, all the issues that come out, there's nothing you can say and do whatever you want. If it feels good to you, do it. Does that not sound like today? And when you understand that, it is how in the world do teenage boys steal a car with a 6-year-old in the back seat, and instead of just putting him out, they kill him? Right here. They say that ain't New York and Washington and all those places we complain. That's right here in the state of Mississippi. How does that happen? When there are no borders in your heart, you can talk yourself into anything. I just want y'all to know that some of the money you give that today, I'm writing a check to that home. This ministry has a home for those elderly people. I'm gonna send them some money because this is why it's so important. The third thing that happens when you have no border, you're brokenhearted, you have no boundaries, you have no borders, and you devalue the important things. You devalue yourself. And so when you devalue yourself, you devalue others. they're not worth the effort. They're not worth forgiving. They're not worth. You devalue the very thing, your heart toward other people. You've been devalued your whole life. Why is it that husbands devalue their wives and children a lot of times? If you go back and check, they were devalued. And all they're doing is just speaking out of a wounded heart, a broken heart. And so, for whatever reason, that's what they do. I'm telling you, this thing is an epidemic. And what breaks my heart is I can't get you to love people, love thy neighbor. You're not going to do that if you don't value them. And you're not going to do that if you don't feel the value in you. We're not going to do that. We talk bad about people. We run them down. We're hard on people. All these different things. And it's because we're doing it out of a broken heart. Our heart is not healed. Are you hearing me? Our heart is not healed. Now, the number one, I know that, let me just preface my point by saying this. You are not going to live life. Everybody hear me? You listen to me. See, everybody should have 11 children. They should. I mean, like, I can absolutely zone out children. I don't even know they're in the room. See, my wife getting funny. I can zone them out, buddy. Everybody should have that experience. Listen to me. Do you understand? You're not going to go through life without taking some hits. I mean, you're going to take some hits from God. See, some of you have bitterness toward God because He didn't come through the way you thought He should. You're going to take hits from people. How many of you have ever said or done something that hurt somebody else's feelings? And you didn't really mean to, it just happened. You're not going to go through life without taking some hits. That's a given. Right? The number one cause of a broken heart. Boy, I hope you write this down and think about it. The number one cause of a broken heart is bitterness and unforgiveness. And you go, well, I ain't got none of that. Really? Let me tell you how it is. See, I pray. I get up here early. I pray over my sermons. I pray through it. I ask the Lord about the invitation. What do you want to? I'm worshiping in my office this morning. And the Lord said, you know, before you preach this, I want you to release that lady. And brought her face up to my mind. He said, you've avoided her. You got a little bitterness toward her, big boy. I want it right now. I said, but Lord, I'm the pastor. Surely I don't have bitterness. I was a human being a long time before I was pastor. Do you understand? I've got to learn bitterness and unforgiveness. Absolutely, when they are undealt with, will begin to squelch the very life out of you. it'll begin to squeeze. I'm going to show you an example in just a second. It'll squeeze the life out of you. It builds up. It slows down your flow. You can still function, but the longer it stays around, the more you'll fall out of love with people. You'll fall out. I mean, we've had people that absolutely, thought me and Todd were the best thing since sliced bread. I mean, they tell Todd, oh, God, Todd, you're the greatest worship leader of all time. Oh, Brother Allen, you speak as an oracle of the Lord. And then a year or two later, they're leaving because, you know, I ain't feeling God no more. And I'm like, I'm the oracle. Todd's anointed. What happened? But then when you find out, they had some business dealings, and they got bitter, or they got bitter here, and the bitterness began to build up, and it squelched the life out of them. Bitterness and unforgiveness are like plaque in our heart. If it's left undealt with, it will begin to slow us down. It'll begin to tire us until eventually it gets rid of everything. Let me show you this. All you guys I talked to, really quickly, come on up here. Hurry, 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 hurry. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Come on. All right. Stop right there. Line up. Okay. Now I want to show you this. I'm going to show you about generational curses too. You go, well, I ain't got none of those. Okay, y'all are the blood. Okay, now this area right here is the blood vessel. Okay? And so God made for you to have health, for you to have energy, the blood's got to flow, right? Come on, work with me. All right? You're looking. Okay, blood flow. Y'all all flow. Come on, get a little flowy with you. See, they got, there you go, there you go. Come on, flop you on. See it flow. Come on back. Circle around. Circle around. Just keep flowing. See, it goes back and forth. Same blood. Float your arms a little bit. There you go. Okay, there you go. We're flowing. All right, stop right there. Okay, then this little thing called plaque comes in. Okay, and this is the way it starts. Come on through. Okay. Okay, what's up? He's plaque. Okay. Right there. Josiah's the best. We're going to keep flowing. But look, it's squelched a little bit. But one of the things you know about plaque, if you ask your doctor, plaque don't like to stay alone. He's kind of like demons. Demons don't like to be alone. Right? All of a sudden, keep going, keep flowing. All of a sudden, plaque gathers on to somebody else. And the flood, now, it's getting a little squeeze in a little, some of the nutrients. And all of a sudden, it grabs on, it builds up. Now, we got problems. And see, and now, the blood is flowing. You watching? The blood is flowing. All of a sudden, boom. And now, we in trouble. There's just a little bit of blood flowing, right? Can I say something to you? All right, y'all step over there. Step right over there. Thank you. Everybody look at me. Richard Inhofe told me after he had his quadruple bypass surgery, here was his words. He said, I did not know how tired I was till they cleaned out my arteries and I started feeling the blood again. He said, I didn't know how weak I was. In the spirit realm, God wants His blood to flow. We're flowing. All of a sudden, that girl hurts your feelings. And all of a sudden, we started, and if it's undealt with, it'll reach out and grab. Well, now I don't like her either because she's friends with her. And now, oh, that's her boyfriend. I don't like him either. And now, oh, I ain't going to that church no more because. The blood flow stopped, and now all of a sudden you come to the oracle and say, I can't feel God no more. And you think it's my fault. You see what happened? Now, here's the deal. All right, step right over there one more time. Everybody looking? You know what was wrong with Richard? One of the main things? Doctor told him he was born with it. He was born with a cholesterol blockage problem. It's in his genes. Some of you, your mom and your dad and your grandfather passed on that bitterness and anger towards you. Fear. And so you come ready-made for a blockage. That's why the Bible says, watch it. Keep guard over your heart. Keep guard over it. Don't let it build up. Because from there flows the issues of life. Thanks, guys. Good job. Now, how do we do this? How do we keep bitterness? And listen, let me just say this to you. I don't care who you are. I don't care how spiritual you think you are. Let me tell you something. Bitterness will creep in if you let it. And how you deal with it. People are going to hurt your feelings. Some of you still hadn't got over the first marriage and you're trying to make the second one work. It ain't going to happen. Because wounded hearts cannot love fully. You can't love God or people. So what do we do? How do we keep a clean heart? Y'all want to know? I want to know. And this is something you need to do the rest of your life. You go, oh, well, I'm more spiritual than that, Brother Allen. Not only are you clogged up, you got a pride problem too. Number one, be quick to forgive. Take your heart to the Lord. Release them. It is. You go, well, I ain't ready to forgive them yet. Your feelings aren't going to ever be ready. That's why it's a command. God don't care what you feel. Make a choice of your will. God, I choose to forgive them. I choose to release them. It's a choice of your will. Your feelings, emotions, I ain't telling you got to be their best buddy again. I'm not telling you to be a doormat. But what I am telling you is the very people you hate, they have you in jail. They're not in jail. You are, because your bitterness is clogging up and stealing the very life out of you. That's why God said, guard your heart. Besiege it. Don't let anything stay there that doesn't need to be there. This kills marriages over time. It'll steal the very love you have for each other just by a little bitterness. You know how you know? If you got a little bitterness. I'm not really here trying to start a fight. But you know how you know? Is it keeps coming up. When you get at odds with each other, you keep bringing it up. Yeah, it's just like 5 years ago. If you keep bringing something up, you have bitterness and unforgiveness. Some of you have it toward God. How about this? Make a choice. How about this? How about be gracious with people? Dennis, you ever made a mistake? Todd, we really want to know this. Todd, have you ever made a mistake? Has he ever? Nina, has he? No, he's never made a mistake. Here's what I want you to hear. Don't you love it when people overlook your faults? But son, we sure hate to do that, don't we? When you forget, how about be gracious with people? Remember, you're somebody else's jerk. I know some of you go, I'm leaving church. Pastor called me a jerk. Well, somebody's calling you a jerk. I'm not saying it. But I guarantee somebody that knows you says, that guy's a jerk. So have a little grace on people. Be quick to forgive. Number two, worship. Man, we love you, Lord. We worship you. Man, please understand, worship is not for God. God is not some egomaniac that needs us to sing to Him. You know what? Worship is for us. He told us to worship because it helps get our eyes off of us and our problem, and all of a sudden our God gets bigger than what we're dealing with. That's what worship does. And it ushers me into His presence. And when I'm in His presence, that's where I'm healed. All of a sudden I love people that I didn't like before. All of a sudden I love my wife when we fought on the way to church. Oh, the boy got quiet then, did he? My momentum just left. I was in the presence of the Lord, there's healing. My broken heart begins to get mended. He is the only one that can heal the things that have happened. Some of you, I know, have had horrible things happen to you. But I know Jesus Christ can heal them because I've watched Him do it. Some of you in here can stand up and say, tell us terrible stories, but then say, man, God has healed my broken heart. In His presence, it shows me my heart. This morning when He showed me that picture of that lady, I was lifting my hands in worship. Lord, You are so good. Because guess what? You can't lie to God. You ain't gonna look, you can fool me. You can fool your wife, you can fool your husband, your co-workers, but buddy, when you start worshiping and come into the presence of God, He knows. And He'll heal if you'll give it to Him. Number three. How do you deal with a broken heart? You give love. Notice it's a process. I can't give love if I don't forgive first. You give in your words, in your deeds. You start giving those things that you need yourself. And then you begin to fill your mind with thoughts. With His thoughts, His word, His opinion. Don't ask me. I want to say this to you. Don't answer. You say, buddy, listen. How many of you have ever desired or even said, have wanted or even said the words, or whatever, wish that guy go to hell. Or that guy's going to hell. he's going to bust hell wide open, whatever verbiage you want to put on. I want God to get that guy. See, I got to fill my head with thoughts. What's God's opinion? God's opinion is nobody is beyond the reach of his love and grace. God's opinion, he would that none should go to hell. In fact, the very people that hung him on the cross, did he not say, God, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Now listen, if you don't learn to give love in word and deed and start replacing thoughts, and the only theology you get is from Dr. Phil and your friends that have had divorces 7 times and people that hate people and mean people, and that's who you get your advice from, you'll wind up being just like them. The Bible says, guard your heart, guys. That's why it's important. Teenagers, you listen? That's why it's important you don't fall in love when you're 14. That's a train wreck waiting to happen. I told my son, he said, I think I love somebody at 13 to 14. I said, so you can support her? I said, what job do you have that's going to take care of this girl? Oh, I said, well, don't use that word. When you use that word, I want to see you with a job and a ring and out of my house. Because we can't emotionally handle it. Do you understand? I watched, and I would never disrespect any of my heritage, okay? And this, I'm not talking about my mom and dad, okay? But I watched 2 people in my family. One dealt with everything with bitterness and unforgiveness, and one dealt with it with grace and kindness. And at the end of their life, nobody wanted to be around that one because they were just the meanest person you know. But this one over here, everybody wanted to be around them. And these were, everybody look at me. These were church-going, every Sunday Christians. Now my question to you is, are you making excuses for keeping your bitterness? We tell our boys all the time, squabbles at school and all that, we tell them, look, you got to forgive them. You got to forgive them. Because I don't want my sons clogging up their heart. You got to make a choice to forgive them. Not saying you got to hang out with them, be their best buddy, but you got to forgive them and you got to treat them with decency and kindness. Well, I don't want to. Well, Jesus Christ didn't want to die on the cross for you, but he did. And because of that, I am set free. And the joy of the Lord can be yours. Some of you functioning with half your heart. And today it's time to stop. Today, I'm telling you, I have seen hundreds and hundreds of brokenhearted people be healed. You got to bring them to the Lord. You got to choose. God, I choose to release them, to forgive them. And you got to begin to fill your thoughts with the thoughts of the Lord. And it's a constant. But it gets easier and easier as you start doing it. One of the things I love about my wife is, you know, it's like being married to Jesus. It's really aggravating, you know. You know, I mean, you know, I want to get it on, you know, and you get, okay, baby, you know, Lord loves you, I'm praying for you. And I'm like, I mean, what do you say to that? But here's one of the things. There's not two more different people in the world than me and her. I mean, it's funny. We laughed the other day because we agreed on something. Just something random. We went, high five. Ah, ah, we agree. But what we agree on is, we agree on the majors. We don't want bitterness to build up in our marriage. Because if I leave it there undealt with, it'll steal my love for her. It'll steal her love for me. And if you leave it there long enough, it'll kill our marriage. And if you think it won't, you're already halfway there. Now my question, everybody look at me. My question to you this morning is this. What are you doing with your bitterness? What are you doing with it? You just stuffing it? If you don't let the healing flow, it'll build up more and more and more until you become that person. I'm going to say this, not to be offensive, I'm just going to say it. I had somebody tell me, oh my God, I'm becoming as mean as my mother. And she was referring to, I hate people as much as she does. What happened? Bitterness got to building up. And over time, undealt with, we think it's okay. We think have unforgiveness is all right. Now here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Everybody looking at me? I'm going to ask you to do something. Now look, I'm not going on a witch hunt. Jesus Christ is here. But I'm going to ask you to ask the Lord. Because the Holy Spirit's the one that convicts. Lord, do I have any bitterness towards someone? Some of you, I can already tell in your face, in your spirit, I can already hear your mind clicking. You got bitterness. You know it. You're already thinking about them. You're deciding whether they are worthy of your forgiveness or not. But when you come into the presence of God, which He's here, you just ask the Lord, Lord, do I got any bitterness? And if He says yes, what I'm going to ask you to do is come to the altar. I'm going to ask you to kneel at the altar and forgive. Say it with your mouth. God, I choose to forgive. I had a demonic experience with a young lady. She had been sexually abused. And the Lord said, make her say it. Make her say it. And I promise you, she said, Lord, I choose. And it was, the demon was choking her. I don't care if you believe that or not. You know, the demon was choking her. And so I started praying. And I said, is this your choice? And I said, say it. And she said, I choose to forgive. And when she said it, something came out of her. And her life was altered that moment. And what I'm telling you is, if you don't release it, it will just grow and grow until it squelches every part of life out of you. I know some of you have been through some hard times and you've had some things hurt you. But today is a day of healing where you can be wholehearted again. Where you can be wholehearted again. Because He says, bring me your brokenhearted. Did he not say in Isaiah, I came to heal the brokenhearted? Wow.